Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/post. That's ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter.com/post.
He's always mistakenly British.
Dean Crumpets, cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all 7 continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly, presents Mark Stein.
We open up the show today with America's anchorman. Reason? There's so much news, and so much of it only Mark Stein might be able to address. We have had a busy week. We've had a coronation. We've had another ruling from the Ofcom people. But we have a jury verdict in New York now. A jury has found Donald Trump liable for sexual abuse. They have awarded the E. Jean Carroll person $5 million, but buried in the second paragraph of the AP story, second paragraph, not the lead. The verdict was announced in a federal courtroom in New York City on the first day of jury deliberations. Jurors rejected Carroll's claims that she was raped. But they found Trump liable for sexual abuse and for defaming Carroll after she made her allegations public. Wait a minute. What do you mean they rejected her claims that she was raped? Shouldn't that have been the end of this entire matter?
Well, court cases in most of the rest of the common law world, you don't have this great range of crimes you can find the defendant guilty. So in this case, the jury was asked to whether he'd raped her, whether he'd sexually abused her, or whether I think he'd molested her. And they, as you say, they decided that he didn't rape her, but that he did sexually abuse her. Now, I have a big problem with a lot of these so-called historic cases. In this case, the plaintiff can't remember whether it was in 1995 or 1996. I find that surprising. But the reality is the jury's reached its verdict, and Trump has to decide whether he's going to appeal it. It's a civil case, of course, which means it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's simply on the so-called preponderance of the evidence. But the fact is, you know, in realistic terms, if this were any other politician, it would finish the guy forever. With Trump, realistically, I mean, that's how skeptical Trump's base is of anything that is alleged of him. The fact of the matter is it's unlikely to impede him sailing on and cruising to the Republican nomination.
Okay, so she can't remember, as you said, she doesn't remember what year it was. Donald Trump has said, I don't even remember this woman, frankly. There are so many people on social media that are saying this is another one of these cases of Kavanaugh, where women are coming up decades after some event allegedly happened, making a claim. And do you think that this is going to have any sort of, that this is going to put the brakes in any way, or will it encourage more people to come up decades after they claim something has happened and try to press a case, especially if it's in the political or the judicial sphere.
Well, look, there's a reason there's a statute of limitations in most instances, you know, depending on what particular crime it is. You've got a year to think about whether you want to bring charges. There's a reason for that. It becomes very difficult, apart from anything else, to defend yourself against a claim that you raped someone in a dressing room in Bergdorf Goodman's, but you can't, the plaintiff can't remember whether it was 1995 or 1996. Now, E. Jean Carroll is a famous person. She was famous then. It was 30 years ago, so I don't want to be ungallant, but she was already a 50-year-old woman. Well, that's the point. She's a 50-year-old celebrity plaintiff in a prominent position. And I find it odd that if the rape had occurred as she alleged, that she didn't bring charges then. That was certainly, you know, we're not talking as we are with some of these ancient cases, you know, that it happened to me in 1957 before there was a feminist movement or anything. She was a prominent feminist in 1995 or 1996. And I find that, you know, as I said, there is a reason why for most legal complaints, you have to file in a timely manner. I mean, I'm just doing a case in London at the moment where you've got 3 months to decide whether you wish to press your claim. So this idea that you can simply leave it and let the decades roll by, I do think is disquieting. But the point is, you know, Trump didn't feel he had to make any defense to this. Basically, the defense felt there was no case to answer. And it is, and I'm not unsympathetic to that because I'm not sure how you would prove whether or not you were in Bergdorf Goodman 30 years ago when the plaintiff can't even narrow it down to a particular calendar year. I don't know how you try to prove a negative. Yeah, I've been in Bergdorf Goodman. But it wasn't in 1995 or 1996. It was in 1993. I don't know how you defend yourself against a charge that non-specific.
All right. Now, if you are one of the few people that has decided you want to run for president, what do you do? if you're Tim Scott's got the exploratory commission, unless he's announced and I missed it. Nikki Haley has announced. Asia Hutchinson has announced.
Well, look, I mean,
what do you do? Do you say, okay, here's a guy that do you bring up this grab him by the thingy again? Because that was one of the things that apparently may have influenced this jury. Do you attack Donald Trump using this as a weapon?
Well, I think you can. What I find slightly telling, and I speak here as a Granite Stater, a resident of New Hampshire, and as I said to you a week or two back, James, I'm astonished. I've never known a primary season like this where it's possible to go down to the town general store and not run into presidential candidates. In theory, big shot Republicans ought to be jumping into the race. And they're not jumping into the race. You mention Asa Hutchinson. He's a joke. And I actually think I'm sorry, but I also find him, you know, on the whole transgender basis, I don't think there's anything conservative about running as a guy who's in favor of the, you know, physical mutilation of middle school girls, which is what Asa Hutchinson's doing in his state. I think Nikki Haley is a faintly ridiculous figure. I think she has huge problems in that she's one of those people the media like. But in my experience of her, I think just regular people, certainly the typical New Hampshire voter, think she's one of those politicians who just says whatever. She's a finger in the windy type who just says whatever she thinks will get her a decent press. These are not serious people. These are not big shot challengers to Trump. All the big shot. I mean, people have been writing for months as if it's Trump versus DeSantis, but DeSantis hasn't jumped in the race, and it is getting awful late now. So I think we're in a very weird, you know, I said, on election after, on the morning after election day 2020, when it became clear that, Trump were, you know, the votes, these strange shifting vote patterns, when new boxes of votes arrive in the middle of the night in key states, Trump should get his revenge and do a Grover Cleveland. But, you know, it isn't 1896 or whatever it was. And it's actually a lot harder to do, 1892, I think. It's actually a lot harder to do be Grover Cleveland now, or even be Adlai Stevenson, where you've lost. And then they say, oh, well, never mind. We're going to give you another chance to lose 4 years later. That's not how presidential politics works now. And yet everybody has figured basically this nomination is Trump's if he wants it, and all the big shots are steering clear.
Okay, now let us talk about your court case. You had Naomi Wolf on your program, Dr. Naomi Wolf. I've had her on this program. Dr. Naomi Wolf is a very brilliant woman who has done a lot of research, and she has very strong views about COVID-19 vaccines. Yet this group, this Ofcom group, has found that you're in breach of broadcast rules again because why Naomi made some claims about them. Basically, what she said was that the rollout of the COVID-19 a vaccine amounted to a premeditated crime, mass murder. Now, Mark, there is no question. I'm sorry if this upsets certain people that work in the pharmaceutical industries or in the media that get their advertising dollars from pharmaceutical companies. But I'm sorry, there has been ample evidence that there have been people that have died in close relation to taking the vaccine or have developed other health issues. To the extent that that has happened, I don't know the full extent. I'm still asking questions about it. You have asked questions about it. I've seen some of the coverage. We've had this thing called sudden death where athletes in their prime who have been vaccinated suddenly die. I have never said that there is a direct causation. I said this needs to be looked at.
Yep.
Naomi Wolf has talked about this. What in the world are these people whining about now with you having Naomi Wolf on your program?
Well, because they're wedded to the 2020 propaganda narrative of these miracle vaccines, which are not miracles. They've actually been withdrawn in countries which are not so deeply invested in the propaganda. But, you know, real countries, Denmark, Norway, Finland, Switzerland has basically ceased recommending any of these vaccines and says, if you go ahead and take one of these vaccines, you're on your own. Now, in the UK, they're particularly invested in the propaganda, and they have this state censor called Ofcom that can come and get you. In the United States, as you say, it's a lot more to do with pharmaceutical advertising. And certainly Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Said to me just the other day that it's not a coincidence that Tucker has him on his show and Tucker starts talking about this. And what do you know, just a few days later, there's no more Tucker Carlson show. But the fact is we have some very weird official statistics at the moment all around the world. In the Canadian province of Alberta, the leading cause of death is cause unknown. That's not normal. That's not normal for a developed society. If you look at England and Wales, they basically had for the last year over 1,000 per week, extra deaths. You know, in other words, 1,000 more deaths than normal every week for a year, and it's basically in the young adult category. It's 30 to 49-year-olds. Now, we had the American Institute of Actuaries, or what it, or whatever it's called, which came up with the same thing. Extraordinary amount of excess death between 25 and 54-year-olds. In other words, the young and middle-aged. And there has to be a reason for that. And until governments actually start to figure out what the reason is, in a free society, people should be entitled to speculate. She's done, Naomi Wolf has done more research than anybody on this. She's got thousands of people working for her in a network all around the world, and she's gone through hundreds of thousands of Pfizer documents. Now, His Majesty's government in London says, I'm not allowed to say that on television, so I'm going to sue His Majesty's government and shove it up His Majesty's government's flabby butt, because I think we need more honest conversation on this rather than less.
Speaking of His Majesty's flabby posterior, this was Coronation Week this past week. And the coverage was massive, of course. The pageantry was massive in the UK. And I just have a question for you. I watched clips of it. I didn't watch it live. Does it even matter anymore? Is this just like a circus show? Or does this coronation and the king as the figurehead of the UK, does it mean anything anymore, Mark?
Well, it's a serious system of government, and if you look at the Cato Institute in Washington, when they compile their list of free nations, I think in the current ranking, 6 out of 10 of the freest nations on Earth are constitutional monarchies. So it's a serious system of government. Whether the king himself actually understands quite how serious it is another matter. But it's interesting. It is interesting to me that even though nobody really likes the guy, I'd put it like that. There's not a lot of enthusiasm for him. You know, his governments in Canada and Australia and elsewhere, take the whole business seriously. The fact of the matter is, you know, yeah, it's not serious in the sense that the entirety of Western civilization is sliding off the cliff and we're all going to be in a big heap of rubble at the bottom. And the last thing we're going to be arguing about is whether your constitutional republic is better than my constitutional monarchy. Because when we're all at the bottom of the cliff, and the Chinese and the Saudis and the Russians are running the planet, It'll just seem, you know, an irrelevant nuance or detail. But the thing is, he's a king in a hurry. He's waited for this for half a century. He's an old man, and he sees opportunity, particularly in his title as head of the Commonwealth, which is sort of a bit constitutionally dubious, but gives him a huge amount of latitude to monkey around in all kinds of public policy. And he's not going to waste his time on that.
We have to take a break. Mark Stein is with us, America's undocumented anchorman. The telephone number, 800-848-WABC. Later on today, Scott Baio, the actor, you know Scott Baio, Happy Days, Chachi. He's getting the hell out of L.A., and he's going to tell us why. We're coming back with Mark Stein. Don't go away. Coming right back. Happy birthday to Dave from Sam and Dave on WABC in New York. This is their big breakthrough out. Well, it's their big breakthrough single, Soul Man. And we have with us the soul man of the Commonwealth.
I always, ever since the 1996 election, I always hear that as Bob Dole's campaign theme. I'm a Dole man, which he used to play at the beginning of his oxymoronic rallies in New Hampshire. as the high school gym emptied out and people fled into it. It was the mismatch between the campaign theme and the candidate.
Now, was that before he started advertising for Viagra, or was it after? That was before he started the Viagra.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was before the Viagra ads. But even
he was the first guy. He was the first real national spokesman for Viagra.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what it. I mean, I remember at the time. I thought, well, maybe I could use Viagra, but I didn't want to find myself talking in the third person like Bob Dole did. You know, where he'd say, Bob Dole's going to run for president. Bob Dole's going to campaign. I thought that was, I assumed afterwards that was a side effect of Viagra, and I just didn't feel it was worth the trouble. So, whatever it was, I forget, what did they say on the ads? If symptoms persist for more than 6 hours, well, you know, when you look, if you saw Bob Dole campaigning in New Hampshire, he was stiff for the whole day. And I was, I thought, whoa, I'm not going to go near that.
Mark, we've had another one of these things. This time it's New York. This is Jordan Neely, over 44 arrests. He was schizophrenic, reportedly suffered from schizophrenia and autism. And, of course, this is a tragic death. He was acting out on the subway. The View co-host Sonny Hostin claims that us, people in the media, like us, mentioning the fact that he had a lengthy arrest record, but I also mentioned with that he had lengthy mental health issues that were known to the city government, that were known to the state government. They knew that this man was unstable, yet they kept releasing him. But she says that we are re-victimizing him, and this is an argument that comes up every time there's one of these black-white things that the media loves as their narrative. And they always, and if the black guy has, it was this way with George Floyd, it was this way with the gentle giant whose name escapes me at the moment. It's been the way every time there's one of these cases, if there is an arrest record, if there's history with the law, we're not supposed to report on that. We're just supposed to pretend that none of that stuff existed. What is the point of hiding the truth? Is my question.
Well, because I think the way these stories are presented are always basically dishonest. You mentioned a couple of them. There have been cases where the only photograph you ever see of the person is like his high school yearbook photograph, where he instead of the one of him at 28 when he's a young thug. In this case, he's being presented to us as a Michael Jackson impersonator. Everybody agreed within 10 minutes the most salient fact of this guy's life is that he used to do Michael Jackson moonwalking impressions. Now, the thing about it is it's only relevant to this lady at The View is because she and everybody else are second-guessing the decisions made by the guy riding the subway train. What's disgusting is that in a supposed first world city, one of the most famous cities on the planet, if you ride the subway, some guy comes up and is shouting and yelling and obscenities, and you're supposed to figure out, is he just a harmless nutter, or is he suddenly going to lunge and sucker punch me? And people who just have done nothing but buy a token to ride the subway shouldn't have to be in that situation. Megyn Kelly played me a tape when I was on her show of a young couple with a 2-year-old kid. And the kid is sitting there between them terrified as this guy, you know, possibly schizophrenic, possibly mentally ill, is just yelling and swearing obscenities in their face. And as I said, you're down there, you're on your own, it's an increasingly lawless city because the guys who run the city have incentivized lawlessness and have said that if you commit certain basic, we're not even talking broken windows anymore, we're saying if you walk into famous chain stores on Fifth Avenue and steal hundreds of dollars of merchandise, as a matter of policy, the city of New York has no interest in your crime. You're making things worse every day, and then you second guess the guys down in the tunnels who have to live with the consequences of your failure of government.
Well, I know somewhere that has a bright and rosy outlook unlike that. It is on a ship, a big ship, cruising up and down the Adriatic Sea, and it's in July. I'm going to be on that ship. In fact, we're underway making the air reservations to get me to Italy right now so that I can be there. And Mark Stein, I'm looking forward to cruising with you in July. Tell folks how they can join us.
Yeah, they can join us by going to Mark Stein Cruise. That's all one word, MarkSteinCruise.com. And we're going to be leaving Italy, putting in at Croatia, Montenegro, the Greek islands. We're going to have a hell of a time. And I will say this, I think it's better than a ride on the New York subway.
Mark, thank you for spending so much time with us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, James. See you next time.
All righty. Mark Stein, ladies and gentlemen, S-T-E-Y-N, America's undocumented anchorman. We're coming back. Scott Baio joining us when we get back. Don't go away.